God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, he spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. The tenets of the faith, as we await the trial verdict in New York, the tenets of the faith, they're important. They must be observed. They must be observed and lived out, even when they're fake. Oh, I'm not talking about the Christian faith. I'm not talking about an organized religion. I'm talking about the tenets of the faith. The faith is in the wisdom of human beings. That is the faith. Well, for many. I was watching a 250-year-old flag commissioned by George Washington. He was once thought of as the father of our country before it was discovered that he was old and white. At that point, he was simply a racist who had nothing to offer the country, ever. The flag must be removed. It flew outside of a Supreme Court justice's home, therefore it must be removed because that Supreme Court justice had allowed a flag to fly upside down on his property because he was so disturbed about what was going on post January 6th. You know, a Supreme Court justice is having people outside their houses with guillotines and fake guillotines and fake, nooses. Trying to pressure those Supreme Court justices into changing their opinion on an abortion case. Well, that's illegal. You know, you're not allowed to do that, except it's not illegal because you're allowed to do that. Because the tenets of the faith are, if you're doing something that helps the faith, that is the wisdom of human beings, then good to go. So this flag, it's a tree. It's called Appeal to Heaven. George Washington commissioned it 250 years ago. It's being taken out of state houses because it flew at a Supreme Court justice's home. San Francisco removed what's now called the controversial Appeal to Heaven flag from Civic Center Plaza. This is the San Francisco Chronicle. It's controversial. Seattle Times has announced that it's controversial. The Appeal to Heaven flag was a Washington's cruiser flag from 1775. It had been in that state for that long of a period. See, this Supreme Court justice isn't able to employ his human wisdom because his human wisdom has the taint of godliness. And the tenets of the faith must be upheld. The tenets of the faith. When Hillary Rodham Clinton III, as my radio mentor and Rush Limbaugh used to say, God rest you, Rush, thank you for giving me this platform that you gave me. Not AFR. He didn't give me AFR. That was an act of God and an act of you guys and many friends of this program like Frank Turek and Sandy Rios. But in giving me a national footprint, so people even knew who I was, I thank Rush for that. He used to call her Hillary Rodham Clinton III, kind of needling her, because, of course, her entire career was dependent upon her husband completely. When she and her campaign decide to launder money through a disgraced former law firm, I mean, technically there's still a law firm, Perkins Coie, and they decided to launder money. What they did is they paid for opposition research that was fake about President Trump, utterly fake. The people who created it apparently knew it was faked. Many people in the FBI knew it was fake. But when the Clinton campaign paid the bills for that, instead of paying Fusion GPS directly, they did it through a law firm and they called it legal services. nah, nothing happened. Nothing. President Trump is accused of, apparently, because no one actually knows the crime, we'll get into that. President Trump is accused of a bookkeeping error or a lie. Bookkeeping, recording a payment as legal services when the payment was actually for hush money. Hush money, which is legal to pay. I was listening the other day to a radio news, and the reporter explained that the jury is deliberating over charges that President Trump hid hush money to cover up extramarital affairs. No, the allegation is one affair and one bookkeeping instance. Everything else is invented. Everything else is invented to blow this up into something much, much larger. That's the game. And that's the game they're playing. So we have this decision to make. Do we employ the tenets of our faith? Or do we rely on God Almighty and what we know he's going to do? In fact, what he has already done. Justice has already been meted out. We know this because when the Lord says he's going to do a thing, that thing is already done. So we know this. Now, there's this tiny, small detail that I think sort of matters in relation to this trial. Marco Rubio points this out. Marco Rubio, or one of his staffers, wrote on Twitter, "Judge in Trump case in New York City just told the jury they don't have to unanimously agree on which crime was committed as long as they all pick at least one. And even that, among the crimes they can pick from, are ones Trump wasn't even charged with." That is exactly the kind of sham trial used against political opponents of the regime in the old Soviet Union. Yes, it is. There's a phrase, Kafka-esque, and it is inspired by Franz Kafka, a great, great Russian writer, who wrote about the excesses that occurred under the Stalin-esque regimes and the following on of the of Lenin. And in the old Soviet Union, you could be brought to court, sat down in a bench, and told to plead. Well, what are the charges? Well, the fact that you aren't going to even admit that you know the charges is an indication of your guilt. Franz Kafka wrote fiction, but it was inspired by real-world events, inspired by a world gone insane. Well, in this case, of course, we see this world's gone insane, but we knew this. Evil will be called good, good will be called evil. We knew this. This is a point of biblical record. Kristi Noem, governor of South Dakota, and a woman who sold her state out for money from China and Korea and Bono and a lot of very rich people. She was in the business of allowing them to steal farmland. Praise God that two state senators stepped up and stopped that. Kristi Noem, who is desperately positioning herself to be President Trump's vice presidential pick, including a bizarre and very sad decision to go out and have this plastic surgery on herself. Really bizarre. Such an attractive and photogenic woman. Why do that to yourself? Oh, that's right. Because you're auditioning for a role. Well, even Kristi Noem, who used to be a decent human being, even Kristi Noem can be right. She wrote on Twitter, or one of her staff members did, "Judge Marchand's jury instructions are a direct violation of Richardson v. U.S., a decision that liberal Justice Breyer wrote and conservative justices like Scalia and Thomas agreed with. Totally rigged trial." Here's what it says. She points this out on Twitter. Richardson versus United States, 119, section 1707, 1999. "The jury must be unanimous as to the series of underlying offenses in a criminal prosecution. That is, the jury must unanimously agree not only that the defendant committed some continuing series of violations, but also about which specific violations make up that continuing series." Judge Marchand has said, you don't even need to pick a crime that Trump's been charged with. So if four members of the jury say, hey, I like this one, and another four say, hey, I like this one, and another four say, no, we don't like any of those. And then another four says, hey, we have found some others. That is Kafkaesque. Now let's do some quick comparisons, because I think this matters, and let's do one. Figurehead Biden, like many people in governments, used fake email addresses, fake names. One of my favorite instances of this is back in the day when a former EPA director had created a fake name, Richard Windsor, and Richard Windsor at one point won Employee of the Month. Richard Windsor, who did exist. They do this to dodge Freedom of Information Act requests to make sure that we cannot find our emails from our employees working on issues we pay our employees to work on. So the figurehead, Biden, had a series of fake names that he used on official government emails. He did this, of course, to launder money and activities that he was helping his son with his business. He did this. Now, from justthenews.com, John Solomon's organization, Biden received sensitive data briefings from security advisors via his private pseudonymous email. Under the law, such communications are supposed to occur on secure government email systems, and to date, Biden has not offered any explanation why his private email account was used. The archives say it has tens of thousands of such emails from Biden's personal pseudonymous account during his vice presidency. Oh, well, we know why he did it. It's because he wanted to be able to keep those and pass them on as he wished to whomever. Now, is that bearing false witness? No. The Biden family got rich doing something, and they don't make products and they don't provide services. They got rich doing something. And yet President Trump is on trial because the tenets of the faith are he must be destroyed. He, in anything that relates to any form of populism that doesn't in fact bow to the human wisdom of the left, the human wisdom of the left and Mitch McConnell, the human wisdom of the left and Mitch McConnell and far too many Republicans. It was up to so-called Dr. Jill Biden to go on TV and defend her husband's.
This election is not about age, because like you're saying, I mean, Donald Trump's going to be, what, 78?
78, yeah.
And
yeah.
Joe's 81. They're basically the same
right.
age.
Right.
So, but it's about character. This election is about character.
Yep.
So you have two choices. You have my husband, Joe, who you all know, who has integrity. He's strong. He's steady. He's a leader. He's smart. He's energetic. Or you have chaos.
That's yeah. right.
Yes. Or you have chaos.
You have chaos that's been installed, of course, by the tenets of the faith. Now, none of those things are true about Biden, the figurehead. He's not energetic. He's no longer smart. He never was. He was scheming. Jill Biden also says this.
This election is not about age, because like you're saying.
Not about age. No, you're right. No, one man still has his faculties about him. The other man doesn't. Unless he is primed with whatever, and I think I know what whatever is for debates. I think he's drugged. I think it's probably high doses of Adderall. I think they probably blood pack him. That is to put an extra pint of blood into his body. Dangerous, but done. I think there's a lot of things they do to that man. Unless that's been done to him, he is mentally vacant. And the American people know this, of course. Poll after poll after poll indicates this. But the tenets of the faith are that Joe's just being Joe. So from the tearing down of the appeal to heaven flag from San Francisco because someone decided to pretend it's controversial and the media took that label and said, yeah, there we go, it's controversial, to a jury being told, hey, if you don't like the crimes with which Trump is charged, find others. It'd be easy enough then to drop our heads in despair. Instead, I'll say it again. Thank you, God, for giving us the easiest to pass-fail test in history. We'll come back on the Disciples' View, and no, in fact, I'm not going to give up on talking about COVID. In fact, there's much, much more you need to know about that up next. There's a reason that I will not give up talking about COVID and the modified RNA injections and the setup and events to one and the entire installation of this global lockdown to force people to be willing to accept being injected against their will with a modified RNA injection. And a lot of people were injected against their will. Not strapped to a table, perhaps, but forced, economically blackmailed. I will not give up on it because they're not done. They intend to do it again. And because they're hoping that the oxygen runs out, that there's the election period and there's Orange Man bad and all these other things on which we must focus, so that as the cover-up becomes more and more clear, because we're now getting the proof of the cover-up, the last conspiracy theory is dying. Back in the day, I said in local radio time and time again on Rush Limbaugh's program, on my own programs, they know. Everybody connected with this knows. They know the lockdowns don't work. They know the masks don't work. They all know. They all know this stuff is making people sick. They've always known. They knew. Now, how can I be so clear of this or so sure of this to not risk providing false witness? Because it was in the designs of the drugs. You cannot con a person's body into creating a poison to that person's body without causing problems. Can't be done. Our immune systems are going to end up fighting the very body in which they're housed in all too many of us. Now it's becoming clear. Point one. This from Dr. Peter McCullough. A new study found a 1,236% increase in excess deaths after the COVID-19 injection campaign in King County, Washington, a quadratic increase in excess cardiopulmonary arrest mortality was observed with higher COVID injection rates. In this study, estimated that 49,240 excess fatal cardiopulmonary arrests in the United States from 2021 to 2023. They identified a strong ecological and temporal association between the excess cardiopulmonary arrest mortality and the COVID-19 injection campaign. In King County, people were absolutely, absolutely thrilled with the lockdowns. In King County, at least half of them, if not more, loved it. They had signs up on their houses. I went there during this period of time. I was living in Idaho, praise God, but I had to go back to do radio occasionally. And, you know, I had a local show there, so I'd have to go into that community. And I told my bosses at the radio station, I will not wear a mask because it's a lie. I will not lie. I will not get injected. I will not test. I will hold my breath when I walk through the building. So I would do my show prep in the parking lot in my car. I would walk up to the employee entrance. I would take a huge inhale of breath. And I would walk into the radio studio and shut the door because in the radio studio, I didn't have to wear a mask. It was that insane. I mean, to be in there talking for 4 hours and I couldn't go use the bathroom because I had to wear a mask and I couldn't hold my breath for 5 minutes. So I'd have to stay in that studio, but I could talk. And everything in that office was based on recirculating air, all of it. All of us in the studios were breathing and talking. It was that insane. It was also in that city where you could get beaten, and it happened. People got beaten with baseball bats for not wearing woke masks. And when the injections came, you would have people wearing t-shirts that said, quote, vaccinated as blank. And lots of them. You'd have people with signs in their houses, huge signs in their front yard. If you're not vaccinated, get off my lawn. And it's a 1,236% increase in heart attacks, effectively. My friend, dear friend, Dory Monson, a legendary, legendary talk show host, radio talk show host, died of a heart attack. Now, Dory had some health problems. And he told me that. He had some kidney issues, but never, ever heart disease. Well, until he got injected. I don't know what his family thinks. I think there's a good chance Dory fell into this. Item two on why I will not stop talking about COVID. Oh, by the way, with that, in the separate country of Washington, I gave the Republicans proof absolute rock solid, inarguable proof that their government was lying, absolutely lying about how many people died from COVID. They never used it. Not once. Item two, Tony Fauci's deputy, David Morenz, admitted in a hearing that he deleted government records and conspired with EcoHealth Alliance's Peter Daszak to restore Daszak's grants. Making an admission like this means you did not want your work uncovered. Means you were involved in the actual cover-up. He admitted this.
Dr. Morenz, I'm going to take a little time to read some statements and ask some more questions. On January 18, you were asked if you ever assisted in the drafting of correspondence that Dr. Daszak sent to the National Institutes of Health regarding EcoHealth's terminated grant. You answered no. On January 18, you were asked if you ever provided advice to Dr. Daszak regarding his grant termination. You answered no. In your Gmail on March 29, 2001, you responded to Dr. Daszak with edits to a letter that he sent to the NIH. On October 25, 2021, you responded to Dr. Daszak that you would edit an EcoHealth press release regarding the grant termination. On April 28, 2020, you responded to Dr. Daszak with edits to an EcoHealth press release regarding the grant termination. On October 25, 2021, you provided Dr. Daszak with advice regarding preparing a timeline regarding EcoHealth's late five-year report submission.
So in other words, he lied. He lied about his involvement with Daszak and EcoHealth Alliance, and this is all in the Congress of the United States.
On December 7, 2021, you wrote to the chair of EcoHealth's board of directors to, quote, put in a word, end quote, for Dr. Daszak. Did you ever advise Dr. Daszak on how to respond to NIH compliance actions?
So that's Dr. Wenstrup in Congress asking this question. He gets to have his other title, doctor, rather than the honorable or congressman.
Yes or no?
What's the word to compliance actions?
Did you ever advise Dr. Daszak on how to respond to NIH compliance actions?
Well, what I did, yes, I did tell him multiple times.
That's all I'm asking. Okay. Did you ever edit a letter Dr. Daszak sent to NIH in response to a compliance action?
Well, I must have. I don't remember it, but I saw such a letter. I don't know what it was, but apparently I helped him do it. But
did you ever edit a press release that Dr. Daszak issued in response to a compliance action? Did you ever edit a press release that Dr. Daszak issued in response to a compliance action?
I must have, but I don't remember it.
Okay. Did you ever advocate on behalf of Dr. Daszak to EcoHealth's board of directors?
I sent a letter to Nancy Green.
So he's effectively lied about everything. And he also went through and he said he would delete emails. He later said he didn't think it was wrong to do that. He didn't know it was wrong to delete emails. But he did offer to do it. The four is a dreadful paranoia-inducing, as in the old days. We had to do them ourselves by hand. I mean, finding and printing out thousands of emails coming in and going out. Now, they sometimes FOIA text messages, too. Many FOIAs turn up thousands of pages of docs, and of course, most are meaningless. We are all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns, and if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. If we found them, we'd delete them. There's also this. These people involved in this cover-up did delete emails, but they also misspelled things quite on purpose. In using numbers for letters, they were making it nearly impossible for FOIAs to turn up information on their work. These are not the actions of people who are proud of their work, and they were doing this as the lockdowns were going on, as all of this was being planned. They were using numbers and other characters as letters so that they would not be discovered through FOIA. An email from NIH Morenz to Peter Hotez. Hotez is one of the worst of the pushers of the modified RNA injections. He's a very dangerous man. I did delete all of Peter's emails and others relating to Origin when the blank started hitting the fan. The best way to avoid FOIA hassles is to delete all emails when you learn a subject is getting sensitive. Okay, so that's a cover-up. You only cover up things you know you can get in trouble for. There's also this. Fauci's senior advisor, David Morenz, admits he's a longtime friend of Peter Daszak. He also jokes about getting kickbacks from federal grants.
Can you explain why you chose to bypass official channels? And how do you justify that?
Well, let me go back to the very beginning. In early 2020, Peter Daszak, who's been a personal friend of mine for almost 20 years, I've had government interactions with him that would be on my NIH email, but almost all my interactions with him for years have been personal as a friend. And suddenly he was getting death threats, credible death threats, and his wife and his two daughters were getting credible death threats. And the FBI was investigating, and they were publishing these death threat people, which are said to be QAnon. I don't even know who they are, but
no one knows who QAnon is. I am a conservative, have been for years, have been active in political cycles for my whole life. I was the chief digital strategist for the RNC. I'm blessed with this radio program and a podcast in audio form, top one half of 1%. I've never met anyone in QAnon.
You know, they were marching outside his house and they were sending threatening things. An anthrax powder envelope was mailed to him. And
all these things are awful. What does it have to do with your decision to help him delete emails?
It just freaked everybody out.
Why did you choose to use personal email? That's
because that was not government business. What happens to a private citizen in a death threat situation, in my mind, is not government business.
Well, it is government business if you are advising him, you're advocating on his behalf, you're editing things, that letters that he wants.
That's Congresswoman Moutoukas. And she's right. It is government business. I'm not giving up on talking about COVID because they're not done trying to do more of this to us. The signs are everywhere. The fact that they are trying to have us forget the very, very recent things they did to us and said to us, such as this. This is this Dr. Peter Hotez. And he's part of the cover-up. And he was talking about the days when it was so, so bad. He said things got so bad when you were seeing so many people on their deathbeds in intensive care units because they refused the COVID so-called vaccine. They ranged from remorse, oh my gosh, he said the Lord's name, oh my gosh, I should have gotten vaccinated, or the saddest of all, okay, now I'll get so-called vaccinated. That's not how vaccines work. You need time to do some immune response from getting it. He was pretending there were a whole host of people who died because they weren't injected. That never, ever, ever happened in mass. The average age of death of people who died from, more likely with COVID, was 82. The average number of comorbidities was 6 in people who were said to have died, quote, from COVID. So I'm not done talking about it because they're not done covering it up. And they're counting on something. That's you and I getting fatigue. They did this to God's creation. Meaning they'll do it to God's creation again. We are called to be in the world and not of it. So let's be in the world and not of it. Let's not let news cycles constantly drive what we discuss. We have that freedom here on AFR, courtesy of you, who through your monthly donations make it possible for me to bring you news like this, and through the providence of God Almighty. Brother Don Wildman had a vision, God had a plan for a network just like this. The other reason I'm not done talking about COVID is because it's not COVID. See, the thing is never the thing. Yes, 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 they wanted there to be a pandemic. Yes, 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 they counted on that. But the medical technocratic state that did this to us is far, far ahead of us in what they intend to do to others. This is a so-called doctor. His name is Dr. Robert Garofalo of Lurie Children's Hospital. Listen to him talking about children.
So it's usually the young person comes in knowing exactly what they want and us trying to navigate a process of having that done safely and really allaying parents' fears. I mean, sometimes parents will come in and be like, you know, what is my, I want to make sure that my young person is, that my child's really trans, you know, can you help me with that? And I'll turn to the child and be like, yeah, so, you know, what gender identity do you have? You know, there's no form, there's no scale, there's no psychological battery of tests that needs to be done. Really, the young person can answer that question for them.
This is absolute brutal insanity, and this guy should never be allowed to practice medicine. Just try this. Try it. Walk into a cancer clinic and say, I've got a brain tumor I need removed. Oh, well, we need to do a CAT scan and an MRI. And no, it's there. And if they give you the CAT scan and MRI and they come back, go, no, you don't have a tumor. Go, no, it's there. I need it removed. I'll show you right where it is. And then point to your own brain scan and go, that's a tumor. No, that's healthy brain. No, that's a tumor. Don't you tell me. I'm transcancerous. I'm not done talking about COVID because COVID was not the thing. The thing was to empower a technocratic medical state to never have to operate on evidence in order to attack the bodies that God gave us. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Got an email from a gentleman, Timothy, lives in Dallas, Texas. Now imagine this. You are happily ensconced in Dallas, Texas with your three kids, preteens, one teen. Your wife is happy there. You've got a great place. We worship God, you fellowship, and you're in the military. And your bosses come and say, you are moving to the separate country of Washington State. You're going to move to Tacoma. So here's what Timothy wrote me. Dear Mr. Herman, I'm a fan of your work. I know you don't care for that word, but it's my email, so I get to use it. Ha ha. My wife and I have been told that we are moving to Tacoma from Dallas, Texas. We have three children. Two are preteens. My son is a teenager. My wife is not happy with this. We're a military family, so we do what we're told. We're going to be at Joint Base Lewis-McChord. I know you well enough through your work to know you're going to tell me the blatant truth about the area and what I can expect. I'm hoping I can have my wife listen to you talk about this and give us advice on how to deal with it. If you do respond to this email, I hope that you'll let me know. Well, I am responding, and I did let Timothy know. And he adds this. We are good Christian people. Our children know the Lord, as you put it. I don't worry about that, but I guess I worry about their safety, which is odd, being in the military and being a combat vet. Please do give us the straight scoop on what we can expect. I'm nervous about this from a spiritual perspective, even though my kids do know the Lord. Yours in Christ, Timothy. So, Timothy, you're right to be worried spiritually. That area is an extremely dark area, but there are good godly people there. My specific advice to you is to not live in Tacoma. My specific advice is that you go across the Narrows Bridge to a place called Gig Harbor. I sent you a note on a church I would recommend you attend. I won't say it in public in case you don't want that, but there is a good, godly, great community church with small groups, disciple-making church, very active, very loving, that I suggest you join. But I do ask you to listen to me. Downtown Tacoma has a lot of beauty in it, and it is utter chaos a lot of the times. There are out-of-control street races. There's periods of time where there's hundreds of young people, most of them gang members downtown, spinning donuts, many of them carrying guns. There's attacks on people. I'm not saying that I'm worried about your physical safety. Statistically speaking, it's not going to happen to you, but statistically speaking, it will happen to somebody because it always does. The homelessness in Tacoma in that area is far different than it is in other areas. A lot of it is rural. So you might be thinking about living off base. If you live off base and you intend to have any rural property at all, it likely will be squatted on. You likely will have people set up shooting holes. What is a shooting hole? Just happened to a friend of mine in that area. He owned about 6 acres of land. He and his wife lived up on a hillside. They couldn't always see what was below them. And people had taken and dug effectively caves into his hillside and then reinforced them with boards they stole from construction sites. They would go score their drugs, which is perfectly decriminalized. I won't say legal, but decriminalized. They would get their fentanyl and their meth and their heroin, and they would go up into these holes in the hillside. They would shoot up and leave the needles behind. Now, this is all just blatant reality. On the spiritual front, please begin practicing now with your children wearing the armor of God, and then please praise God. Timothy, you are, in fact, being deployed as an ambassador of Jesus. That's a big deal. I hope you'll treat it like a big deal. You're going to a largely unchurched area, and even some of your friends in the military are going to be unchurched. You have an opportunity to be the guy they first know as a Christian. You have the opportunity for a lot of people to be the first Christian they ever meet. I know that sounds bizarre, but in that area, there's a lot of people who do not attend church, and it's not a normal thing to ask someone in that area, do you have a place to worship? It's just not done. So you can be the person who makes it be done, who causes it to be done. That's what you can do. You're being sent on a mission field. So act that way. And the exciting part of this is God selected you. I don't know what branch of the military you're in, you didn't mention it, but God selected you. So like Army Rangers go through selection and SEALs go through selection. You've gone through the most important selection there is. God believes you can handle this. I can't wait to hear back from you about how you treat this mission field. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people, like the people who run the separate country of Washington, on high towers of shaking sand, with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time, and... present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think prove the point. This is Chuck Schumer, the Democrats' boss man in the Senate, and there's some things that Chuck Schumer would like to see done.
Now more than ever, we're short of workers. We have a population that is not reproducing it on its own with the same level that it used to. The only way we're going to have a great future in America is if we welcome and embrace immigrants, the Dreamers, and all of them, because our ultimate goal is to help the Dreamers but get a path to citizenship for all 11 million or however many undocumented there are here.
This comes at the same time as a vote in the House. 195 Democrats voted to give anyone, the right to vote in America's elections. Yeah, non-citizens. 212 Republicans voted against it. In other words, we were only 18 votes away from a bill passing the House to give anyone the right to vote in our elections. Because if it doesn't have to be citizens, why does it have to be anybody? So Chuck Schumer says this out loud. Now, just track something. He's in favor of sterilizing, brutally sterilizing young kids so that they may never have babies. How is that fair? And he's in favor of brutally killing babies. So in other words, a decrease in population. At the same time, demanding an increase in illegal immigrants. Please never, ever accept the idea that the great replacement theory is a theory. It's happening. They're importing attitudes and behaviors. They're importing the attitudes and behaviors they want so that they can have a one-party system, beginning with a shifting of the Electoral College. Next clip in today's Tower Babbling. Mayor Pete, so-called transportation secretary. Mayor Pete, who on his first week in D.C., if not his first day, was driven into town in one of the big black SUVs and then got out before he got to his office and got on a bicycle and pretended to ride a bicycle to work. Mayor Pete pretends that cows, doing what cows do after they eat, are making your plane rides less safe.
The reality is the effects of climate change are already upon us in terms of our transportation. We've seen that in the form of everything from heat waves that shouldn't statistically even be possible, threatening to melt the cables of transit systems in the Pacific Northwest, to hurricane seasons becoming more and more extreme, and indications that turbulence is up by about 15%.
So many lies, so little time. The cables he's talking about in the Pacific Northwest, let's address that. Yeah, when those cables are under constant friction from those useless streetcars going all over the place, and I do mean useless, a lot of them, and I'm not kidding you, they're slower than walking. Particularly when you're going uphill, they're slower than walking. They're also deadly. No, they've murdered, they've killed a couple of people. Oh, by the way, last time they bought new streetcars, they didn't fit. They didn't fit. They bought streetcars that didn't fit for like $1.5 billion that you guys paid for. And that's wherever you are in the country. Those cables have gotten hot for years because of the friction and because of bad design. Because the people who sell these things don't need to make good design. Phenomenal. Guy who pretends to ride a bike pretends your plane rides are left safe because of cow methane. Last clip in today's Tower Babbling. The same CNN host, Caitlin Collins, who tried to pressure Marco Rubio last week to pledge to accept a stolen election, lets guest Van Jones say George W. Bush stole his election with help from the Supreme Court.
I'm old enough to remember in 2000, Al Gore coming before the country, when it was clear to us as Democrats that he had been robbed and ripped off and mistreated by the Supreme Court, we were angry. People would have gone to the streets in an instant. And Al Gore said, I accept the Supreme Court's decision. Let's move forward. It was an act of courage. It was an act of patriotism. And we've seen nothing of the kind from this Republican Party.
Al Gore went on to say, in speech after speech, he betrayed this nation. Selected, not elected. His immediate response was to accept. His afterword was years of saying it was stolen. Hillary Clinton still says it was stolen, her election. Nancy Pelosi still says Trump stole office. We're to accept this? That's virtue? They stole an election. We accept it. That's virtue? Incidentally, Caitlin Collins didn't step in to say, wait a minute. Are you actually denying the results of an election? Because that's a grievous crime. That's terrorism. Well, that is a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him in a foot.
On a disciple's view.
Just not those words. We often wrap up the show with personal observation from me, your host. And it's just a way of me performing, I think, a fair trade. You're so kind to spend all this time with us. Why not know a little bit of something about the rodeo clown who hosts the program? So I'll share this with you today. I often get criticized for my focus on working out. There are a couple things that surprise me as a radio host. The things that really, really upset people. In secular radio, you know what really got people upset with me? If I ever said there's no such thing as an e-sport, you speak of death threats. In the last segment, we were talking about a guy was complaining about death threats, which is why he decided to hide government emails illegally. I would get death threats if I ever said there's no such thing as an e-sport, that playing a video game is not a sport. That one drove people nuts. Another one, if I ever told conservatives to turn off cable TV, to unplug it, to unsubscribe, why would I say that? Because if you're conservative, you are handing money to HBO, which hates your values, to MSNBC, that hates your values. And they'd say, oh, but I don't subscribe to this. And so you don't understand how cable economics work. You absolutely are giving them money. Here's one that really gets people, though. And the responses are so, so interesting. I happen to mention from time to time that I'm pursuing fitness at a, I guess, late age, mid-50s. I have this event coming up called SEAL Fit in September. It's a tiny little version of what people go through in order to become Navy SEALs. It's 50 hours and there's no live shooting. There's none of that. It's, but you exercise for 50 hours or you're in a classroom or you're doing drills for 50 hours with the team. It's about making it through as a team. I won't know these guys. Not until we get down there. In all likelihood, I'm going to be the oldest guy in that team by 20, maybe 25 or 30 years. Almost certainly by 30 years. So I get responses like this from Deborah. Todd, I love your program on AFR and how you put God's word at the center. I do want to ask you to stop mentioning your exercise regime. I say this because it seems like you're shaming the rest of us who don't want to do that. I also think it seems prideful. I really hope you'll stop that. Incidentally, all of that is time you could be spending with your family. I really hope you'll think about that. Deborah from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Deborah, I appreciate the note. If I'm not at church or with my family or in here speaking with you, yes, I'm exercising. Do you know what that has done for me? When our daughter was really falling apart and I had to work my 10, 12-hour days and I had to be in Utah twice a month and I had to stay up and study in order to gain the knowledge of how to help her, I was able to sustain that because of God's grace. And I would also tell you this, Deborah, I don't know why. I have no idea why, but God planted in me a need to do these things. And on long runs, late at night, on the 12th hour, I so often hear his voice in ways I never do otherwise. Thank you for the note. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. And until God decides you and I can speak again together, may his peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.